If you have been coming to the Tuesday prophetic teaching service, we have been speaking on the subject of developing a positive attitude. By the way, you can ask your neighbor, say, how is your attitude? Their response, how is your attitude? Or what kind of attitude do you have? Are you seeing any development in your attitude? Amen. I said amen. Let's open to our foundation scripture, Philippians 2. Philippians 2 verse 5. Are you there? God's word says, just one verse. God's word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in what? Christ Jesus. Now, if you read that translation like that, you may not get the full meaning. Modern day translations, for instance, the New American Standard Version says, have this attitude in yourselves. So it's talking about attitude. The word mind is actually attitude. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. I love the Good News Version of this same scripture, Philippians 2 verse 5. It says, have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Then we need to ask ourselves this question. What kind of attitude did Jesus possess? Amen. If you read the scripture down, you will discover that it was talking about the attitude of humility, the attitude of obedience, and the attitude of submission that Jesus had. That is the attitude he wants us to copy. Amen. He says, let this mind, this same attitude that Jesus possessed. What attitude did he have? I mean, did he possess? He had several attitudes actually, but the ones he's talking about here, if you want to look at it within context, he's talking about the attitude of humility, because somebody who was God, who stooped down as man, I mean, that is humility. Amen, somebody? I said amen. Amen. So it's important for us to understand that the word mind here addresses the subject of what? Attitude. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Can you lift up your hands and shout them and say, Holy Spirit? Come on, say it like somebody. Say, Holy Spirit, speak to me tonight. I receive your word with fullness of faith. Thank you, because I will not leave here the same way that I came. Every burden is lifted and every yoke is destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. I said in Jesus' mighty name. We've been speaking about developing a positive attitude, and I've explained to us what an attitude is. What is an attitude? An attitude is the way you think and feel about a thing. An attitude is the way you think or feel about a thing. An attitude talks about your disposition. An attitude talks about your viewpoint, your outlook, your perspective. An attitude is a settled way of thinking and feeling about a thing. I've explained various definitions of what an attitude means. Then we also went ahead to explain what a positive attitude is. What is a positive attitude? A positive attitude is the right kind of attitude that you are supposed to have under any given circumstance. The right kind of attitude you are supposed to have in any given situation of life. Or the kind of attitude that God expects you to have. Now, God expects us to have a particular kind of attitude in any given circumstance. Say, given circumstance. Whether good or bad or ugly situations, there are expectations. God has expectations of how you are supposed to behave. At times, people behave in a way that does not reveal the purpose of the mind of God. This message is very critical in the sense that it will help us to know how God wants us to comport ourselves. How God wants you to behave. How God wants you to conduct yourself. Like I did mention, if you remember, I also went ahead to share with you 21 things that you need to know and understand about our attitude. Why did we go to that extent? We went to that extent so that you can understand the concept of attitude. Like I did mention, attitude as things that, you know, like I said, your attitude shows in everything that you do. You cannot hide or separate yourself from your attitude. Your attitude shows in virtually everything you do. The way you walk, the way you relate to people, the way you handle challenges, the way you see things. Attitude colors everything. Amen? I said amen. The goal and the desire of God for us as His children is to have a positive attitude. Listen to me, God's people. You can cultivate a positive attitude. Your attitude can be right. Your attitude can be spot on. We can have the kind of attitude that Jesus had. You know, listen, some people, it is the situation or the circumstance of life that determines their response. That's not how a Christian is supposed to live. The Bible says we walk by faith. Now, faith is an attitude. Amen? I said amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, if you are the kind of person that, let me call it this word, if you're a yo-yo Christian, say yo-yo. Now, yo-yo is a game that, you know, it goes up and down like this. Amen, somebody. That means it's the environment or the situation that conditions you. No. You are supposed to condition your environment. Amen. There's a way a believer is supposed to respond. There's a way you are supposed to behave. That's where your attitude is important. Amen. Attitude is not everything, but it's a major thing that shows. And if you have the right kind of attitude, I can guarantee you that success and fulfilling the mind and the purpose of God will be a reality in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I said all of that to just do a brief recap. The focus of our discussion today, I want to start something today on the factors that shapes or forms our attitude. You see, whatever attitude you have today, listen, didn't jump on you. There are certain materials, there are certain things that contributed to the kind of attitude you have now. Now, it's important to pay attention to this, I mean the things we're going to be talking about today, and the reason is this. It will help you to know why you have the kind of attitude you have now. That's one. Then number two, it will also help you to know how to develop new attitudes. If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. We are going to be talking about the factors. Say factors, somebody. Factors that shapes, forms, and determines our attitude. You see, there's something that is called the making of an attitude. Or the construction of an attitude. You see, whatever attitude you have today, you didn't just, you know, develop it. Amen, somebody? It didn't just jump on you. Amen, somebody? Attitudes are not formed in a vacuum. Hello? Attitudes are not what? Formed in what? A vacuum. There are certain things, there are certain factors that contribute to the kind of attitude you have now. Now, if you know these things and if we pay attention to them, it will help us to know why we have the kind of attitude that we have now. You know, at times someone says, I don't even know why, where I got this attitude. No, that's a lie. There's nothing like that. Amen, somebody. It didn't just jump on you. Amen, somebody. I mean, whatever attitude you have now that you don't like, for instance, a negative attitude or a wrong attitude, it didn't just jump on you. There were certain things that made you to develop that attitude. And those are the things we're going to be talking about. These are the factors that shapes, that forms, and conditions our attitude. If you have an attitude now that you are not pleased about or you are not happy about, it can change for the better. Amen, somebody. I said it will change for the better. But we need to know these things. You see, at times there is an assumption that people give to things that is not true. God does not want us to give flimsy excuses as to why we are what we are now. Amen, somebody. I've been to places, I don't even know why I'm like this. Listen, if you allow the Holy Spirit to beam a searchlight on you, it will open your eyes to see why things are like that. Look at the devil, say, there's no smoke without fire. Tell someone, say, there's no smoke without fire. There's always certain things that is responsible for whatever we have now. Now, by the special grace of God, we're going to be looking at 12 of these factors that shapes and forms our attitude. Listen, you can take it to the market or you can take it home. What do I mean by that? These are guaranteed, these are tested, proven factors that shapes and conditions the kind of attitude that we have. And we're going to be looking at them one after the other. Now, the first one we're going to look at today, or the first we're going to start looking at, is knowledge. Say knowledge. Knowledge has to do with the kind of information that you have access to. Now, where do we get our knowledge? Primarily speaking, we get our knowledge from the things we hear. Some say hear. The things we see. Some say see. And the things we read. That's how you assess knowledge most of the time. Things you hear, things you see, and things what? You read. So, I want to ask you a question tonight. What kind of knowledge have you been assessing? Now, if you assess the wrong kind of knowledge, listen, that's where you will have a wrong kind of attitude. Basically, you can get information either from God or from the world. Hello? I say hello, somebody. There's head knowledge. There's heart knowledge. Amen? There is head knowledge. There's revelation knowledge. Are you in the house? I said, are you in the house? There is actual knowledge. There's what? Prescribed knowledge. There's a knowledge that is true and there's a knowledge that is untrue. Amen? I said, amen. If you're here, say amen, somebody. So, if you are assessing the wrong kind of knowledge, listen, it will contribute to the kind of attitude you have now. Listen, the day I got to know that what I hear, what I receive, shapes and forms my attitude, I started paying attention to what I receive. That's why Jesus said in Mark 4:24, he says, take heed what you hear. He went ahead in Luke 8, verse 18. It says, take heed how you hear. So, it's not just the information, but how you even process the information is important. Hello? Jesus said in John 8, 32, you will know what? I can't hear you. You will know what? And the truth shall what? What's the opposite of truth? So if somebody is listening, all the knowledge you have access to is just what? Lies is going to affect the kind of attitude you have. Hello, somebody. Are you in the house? That's why the Bible says in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people, God's peoples are what? Destroyed because they do what? Lack knowledge. Let me illustrate with an example, a story. I mean, this story may look funny, but it's a true story that happened. It was in the days when aeroplanes were not yet in existence. So somebody saved a lot of money. I mean, he saved money over time to buy a ticket to travel by ship overseas. Now, when he got the money and he bought the ticket, you know what he did? He now gathered snacks. Say snacks. You know what snack is like? Biscuits, etc. Not really proper food. he had also gathered it and said, well, this snack will be enough for me during the trip. Now, he bought the ticket for the ship. Now, because he did not know that once you buy the ticket, the food, everything is included. His thinking was, this ticket covers what? Transport alone or to get there. So once he bought the ticket, he stayed in his cabin. First day, second day, first week. And he was managing the snack. Because, you know, the snack is not plenty. So it's like he's rationing it. So that you see me through 3 weeks to be on a board is not easy. I have to manage this thing. So during the second week, he ventured to go. Let me go. Let me even go out and see what's happening. So somebody saw so I said, are you new on this cruise? I mean, this ship. I said, well, I'm not new. I've been here. I said, but we don't see you when we go to dinner. We come for lunch. Is that dinner? He said, I saved hard to buy the ticket. You are talking about dinner and breakfast. Where will I get the money? The person said, come again. He said, I saved hard to buy. He said, which ticket? He said, the ticket to board the fear. He said, listen, the ticket covered all your food. Hello, somebody? Now, you can see how a lack of knowledge gave that man a contrary attitude. Amen, somebody. I said, it's just for this trip. That's why he was behaving and conducting himself that way. He was very miserly about the listen, he didn't know that the ticket covered for the food and everything. That's what ignorance or lack of knowledge or wrong knowledge can do to somebody. It will make you to have the wrong kind of attitude towards life, towards things. That's why I always tell people the kind of information you hear or you receive matters a lot. If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. It's important that we receive the right kind of knowledge. And for me, the best way you can receive the right kind of knowledge is from God's word. There is no other word that describes to you your past, your present, and your future other than the word of God. That's why you have to be knowledgeable in God's word. Amen? Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, your knowledge shapes your attitude. So one way you can have the right kind of attitude is to begin to have the right kind of knowledge. I remember a sister years ago when she started attending church. After like 1 year, she came to see me. She said, you know something? My life has changed. She said, many things I never used to know. Because where she was coming from, the background she was coming from, she didn't have exposure. She wasn't exposed to the truth of God's word. And that kept her in bondage. Amen, somebody. That made her to have some kind of attitude also. She couldn't take decisions on herself. She couldn't hear God for herself also because of what she was receiving. So ask your neighbor this question. What kind of knowledge have you been exposed to? That's why, listen, teaching is very important. If you hear the wrong kind of teaching, you have the wrong kind of attitude. I mean, you see, that's where what you hear is very important. And that's why I tell people this. I mean, I know we have some people work in the, you know, print media, electronic. I mean, not everything you hear on the news is true. I'll say that again. Not everything you hear on news is the truth. So if you build your faith and you build your lie on what you receive only on news, it will color your attitude also wrongly. Amen? If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. Amen. So tap it and say, pay attention to your attitude. Pay attention to your knowledge. Right? The knowledge base, your knowledge base affects your attitude. If you understood that, say amen. Number two, another thing that affects and shapes our attitude is our feelings. Your feelings. Listen, how do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about things? You know, for most people, some people feel bad about themselves. Listen, your feelings affect your attitude. Do you feel good about yourself? And do you even know that? Do you know that? I'm going to say something now. Do you even know that there is an erroneous, contrary teaching also that says that probably it's a sin to feel good about yourself? That's not true. Amen, somebody. Hello? If you look at Romans 7, they take it from that place where Paul was talking about the contention between his flesh and the Spirit of God. Romans 7 verse 18, Paul said, he says, for in me, and he specified, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. My flesh, say my flesh. The word flesh there is referring to the Adamic nature. Yes, there's nothing good in the Adamic nature of man. Hello? But in Christ, say in Christ, somebody, there's a lot of good things that you have going for you. A lot. Say a lot, somebody. Not few. A lot. Okay. Philemon is just one chapter of the Bible. Verse 6. Paul said that the communication of your faith may become effectual or effective. How? By the acknowledging. He didn't say acknowledge. He didn't say acknowledged. Hello? But what? Acknowledging. What is acknowledging? Thank you, sir. Present what? That means it's something you must what? Keep doing. Acknowledging what? He said every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So you have a lot of good things in you in Christ Jesus. You see, one of the things that gives people a negative attitude is because they dwell on the bad things a lot. Amen, somebody. Amen. I'm not fine. Amen, somebody. I'm not beautiful. Amen, somebody. I'm not sharp. Listen. Listen, listen. I don't have... That's what I tell you. See, the reason some people want to reinvent themselves is because they don't like who they are. If you're black, you're okay. If you're chocolate, you're okay. If you're yellow, you're what? You're okay. Hello, somebody? You know, some people try to become yellow at all cost. Listen, you see, you don't need to try to reinvent who you are. There's a place in Song of Solomon that says, I'm black and comely. The word comely means I'm beautiful. Beautiful. Amen, somebody. Listen, in Christ, you have a lot of good things in you. You see, the reason people develop a negative attitude is because they dwell on the wrong things. They dwell on the wrong things. The bad feelings. Amen, somebody. The bad feelings that they have about themselves. Amen. Actually, are you dwelling on the good feelings or the bad feelings? Paul said you need to acknowledge every good thing. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, Pastor, what are the good things that that are about me? There are a lot of good things about you in Christ. I said there's a lot of good things. Stop here and say there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of good things. I mean, I could give you a checklist. I don't have the time. I'll probably just mention some of them because I want us to run tonight. I mean, some of the good things you have about you is that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 verse 14 says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes I say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So tap your and say you are a marvelous creature. Another good thing about you, you are made in the image and likeness of God. So you look like God. Amen. Amen. Genesis 1:26, let's make man how? in our own image. After what? What do you have? Another good thing about you. You are gifted and talented. Because the Bible says you are a treasure house. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. We have this treasure. Not we are going to have it. We have it. We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. So tap your neighbor. Say you are gifted and talented. What other good things do you have about you? You are the highest of God's creation. You are the highest. That's where a baboon cannot, is not in the same class with you. Hello, somebody? A baboon, a parrot, or whatever, a chimpanzee, they are not in the same class. You see, that's why the Bible says you are of more value than many sparrows. You are more valuable. Do you know that we are the highest of his creation? Because some of us have self-doubt about what we have. Good things about us. These are good things you have about you. Amen? I said amen. Amen. Another thing, you are graced, Hannah, highly favored. Ephesians 4 verse 7 says, to every man is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Another thing, you are his masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says you are his workmanship. The word workmanship there means masterpiece, product, fabric. Amen? Amen. What do you have good about you again? You are the apple of his eyes. Zechariah 2 verse 8 says, whosoever touches you touches the apple of his eyes. Another thing you have good about you, good things about you, you are his representative here on earth. The Bible calls us the ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. What do you have good about you again? The Bible says you are his body. Listen, Christ is what? The head. We are his body. So you are not complete. He's not complete without us. Hello, somebody in the house. I say hello, somebody else. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, another good thing you have about you are the ruler and the manager over this earth. Who is the ruler? You and I. Psalm 115 verse 16. Psalm 115 verse 16 says, the heavens of heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So the earth belongs to us. Hello, somebody. I said the earth belongs to us. Listen. I mean, there was a time, if you remember, I taught a series on new creation realities, amen? And I shared with you the things that what you are, the things that you have, the privileges. Listen, these are things you have. Stop feeling bad about yourself. You see, thoughts of self-doubt create negative attitudes. So look at it, ever on top of it, just stop feeling bad. Listen, if Christ died for us, like the scripture says, and you have accepted him, you are a candidate of heaven. Amen, somebody. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen, somebody. You have good things going for you. Stop feeling bad about yourself. Amen. Are you in the house tonight? Look at him and say, stop feeling bad about yourself. Because your feelings affect your attitude. Our feelings shapes, forms the kind of attitude that we are. Do you even know that some of us don't like ourselves? You don't love yourself. Leviticus 19 verse 18. Luke 10 27. Thou shalt love
your neighbor. How?
I say it again. Thou shalt love your neighbor as what? What does that mean? The way you love yourself, love what? So, if you don't love yourself, you cannot what? You can't love your neighbor. So, are you hitting yourself on the head all the time? Hello? Are you here tonight? Some of us think that something is wrong with us. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, love what God has made. You see, our feelings are part of the things that forms and shapes our attitude. And until we begin to feel right or feel well about ourselves, the way God sees us, your attitude will not change. Hello? You know, I remember a very funny song, and it's a very funny song, you know, that one of these musicians sang in those days. It's like, "Kini ma fisha yesu, koye mi." You see, you must not sing that kind of narrative. Because if you start singing that kind of narrative, you have written yourself off. Amen, somebody. You have shut the door against yourself. Amen, somebody. Because you have the one who holds the future. I said you have the one who holds the future. So tap him and say, get your feelings in place. You know, people don't know. I don't know why my attitude is. I have this nasty attitude. I have this nagging attitude. I have this, you know, stinking attitude. This, like, check your feelings. Hello? Do you know that we have the power? We have the power to control our feelings? Yes. The Bible says we are supposed to be spirit ruled, not sense or body ruled. So if you allow your feelings, your negative feelings especially, to get the greater part of you, your attitude will be stinking. Hello, somebody in the house. Tap it up and say, fix your feelings. And you fix your attitude. You know, when you allow your feelings to get the greater part of you, instead of you to take control, take charge. Romans 8, verse 12 and 13 says, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. It says, if you through the flesh, if you obey the flesh, it says we will die, but it says, if you through the spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, we will live. So look at the neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, fix your feelings. Number three, because of time. Another thing that forms and shapes our attitude is our thoughts and thinking. Your thoughts are thinking. Your thinking affects, in fact, let me say it this way. Your thinking affects the way you feel. And of course, you know the way you feel is going to affect your attitude. I want to ask you a question tonight. How do you think, or what do you think on? Listen, don't blame anybody. If you sit down and you are thinking about lustful, roughing, unclean things, your attitude will also be like that. Are you in the house this morning? This evening? Amen. I said amen. Ask your neighbor, say, what are you thinking on? What are you thinking about? Do you know the life, our life consists majorly of what we are thinking on or thinking about? There's a scripture in Philippians 4 verse 8. It says, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are what? Lovely. Of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Do what? God gave you 8 qualities of the kind of things you are supposed to think on. Amen. I said amen. Amen. So you can't afford to, listen, if you allow your thoughts to run riot, your attitude will not be good. It's as simple as that. Amen, somebody. Amen. We need to fix our attitude. You cannot fix your attitude if your thinking is wrong. If you see yourself, if you think like a loser, amen, somebody? There's no way you can be a winner. Ask your neighbor, say, what are you thinking? Everybody's thinking about something. That's the truth. Everybody's thinking about something. You cannot exist as a human being and your mind is closed or vacuum or in a vacuum state. No, you're thinking about something. Are you sure that what you are thinking about is good? Are you sure that what you are thinking about is honest? Are you sure that what you are thinking about is in line with the word of God? That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in what? The spirit. That word spirit means the attitude of your mind. You see, many people don't know that one of the reasons why you need to renew your mind in the word of God is that it gives you new thoughts. Oh, listen, we are living a world, we are living a rotten world, a corrupt world. Amen, somebody? The world is a toxic place. All kinds of, listen, negative thoughts, evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, unclean thoughts, all over the place. The way you can sanctify and cleanse your mind is with the word of God. There's no other thing that can sanctify your mind than the word of God. That's why in the words of Jesus, John 17 verse 17 says, sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth. The word will cleanse and purify you. The Bible talks about the cleansing and the purification by what? The word. Ephesians 5:26. Ask your neighbor, say, what are you thinking about? Listen, you cannot have a positive attitude. You can't have a positive attitude if your thinking is wrong. There was a time I read a book by John Maxwell. He told the story of a man who was in Hong Kong, was walking along one of the streets, high streets. Then he saw a tattoo shop and he decided to enter. When he entered the tattoo shop, he saw the man, the artist at work doing all kinds of things. Then he saw different kind of, you know, things that people tattoo on their body, words and what have you. Then he saw one that was of interest. Ah, he said, excuse me. He saw one, born to lose. Ah, he says, excuse me, this is a mistake. Born to lose? He said, yes. Are you telling me that people come and they put this up? He said, yes. Ah. So he said, really? He said, for real. That's why it's there. Imagine somebody come and took a tattoo, born to lose. That's what he decided to put on. So the artist told him. He said, why? He said, before tattoo on the body, there's tattoo on the mind. What does that mean? He's trying to say that anybody that will take on the tattoo of born to lose is already what? He has a loser what? Mentality. He's already thinking like a loser. That's why he wants to put it on. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, what kind of thoughts do you think? You see, if our think, the Bible even says, as a man thinketh, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, where? So shall he be. So stop thinking negatively. Because if you keep thinking negatively, or if you keep thinking contrary to the word of God, your attitude cannot be right. If you think you're a loser, if you think that you are worthless, if you think that you don't matter, if you think that you have no use, if you think that no good thing will happen, that's the kind of attitude you will manifest. Let's get our thinking right. Amen? Tap your neighbor and say, it's time to work on your thinking. Let me run. Number four, another thing that affects or shapes our attitude is our past. Say our past, somebody. Your past talks about where you are coming from or what you have been through. Your struggles, your pains, your history. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Your background. Amen, somebody. The things that your former life. Glory be to God in the highest. Where you were raised, your background, where you were brought up, or your dark, ugly side. Amen, somebody. Everybody has a dark side, ugly side. Amen, somebody. Say ugly side. Negative experiences. Schools that you went to. These are some of the things that constitute our past. Do you know that some people, because of what they've gone through in their past, because they've not been able to overcome it, they've not been healed and restored, that is why they are the way they are now. Listen, if you don't deal with your past will deal with you. I'll say it again. If you don't deal with your past will do what? God says something in Jeremiah 30, verse 17. It says, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of all. Say all. Not some. All of your wounds. It says, saith the Lord. It says, though you have been called an outcast. You know what an outcast is? God says, that's what they call you, but I will what? I will change your story. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody else. I will give you a new name. Your past should not, if you don't handle your past very well, it will color your attitude. Hello? Listen, at times when you see somebody who has been jilted, not been very successful in relationships, they are always weary of any person that comes. Why does the person have that kind of attitude? Because of the painful experience. Oh, somebody jilted me, so everybody is a jilter. If there's anything like that, amen, somebody. Are we okay? Amen, somebody. If you came from a polygamous setup, for instance, plenty of wives, plenty of children, you see that's why people have this competitive attitude. Amen, somebody. It's because of where they are coming from that they have not dealt with. Amen, somebody. Or this jealous or rivalry. Say rivalry. I'm the one. That kind of thing. It's because of the background that they have not dealt with. Amen? We need to deal with the past. Everybody has a past. Everybody has an ugly side. A dark side. But see, in Christ, someone say in Christ. That dark side, that ugly side is restored. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. You see, that's why for somebody like Paul, God helped him to deal with his past. Listen, Saul was a dangerous person. He's not the kind of person you'd be. I mean, he spoke about himself. 1 Timothy 1 verse 13, he said, before, I was a blasphemer. A persecutor, rather, and an injurious person. An enemy. Amen, somebody. He said, but I did all of these things ignorantly before I obtained mercy. That same man, say same man, said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 2, 2 Corinthians 7 verse, it says, receive us. We have wronged no man. Excuse me, sir. What do you mean that you have not wronged anybody? He said, we have wronged no man. You, Paul. It's time to tell you, the person who wronged people is dead. This is a new Paul. That person that was going about hacking people down, persecuting, that person is dead though. This is a new Paul. We have defrauded nobody. You, Paul. You. Say that. He's trying to say that the person who did that is dead. This is the new Paul. Amen, somebody? You see, God helped him to be able to what? Overcome his past. That's why his attitude is a better one. Some people have not been able to overcome their past. Oh, somebody, do you tell me? That's why you have that vicious, suspicious look. Amen, somebody?
Somebody sexually abused me. We don't support sexual abuse by any means. Amen, somebody. I was telling somebody this. Yeah, well, let me even say it. I said in my secondary school day, I was sexually abused. I went to a boys' school in the early part. Amen. Before I crossed over. Amen. Left the school. And there was this senior. You know, isn't that why I said you be careful all these senior and what do you call this? What do you call those things again? School father and school mother, whatever. At times, it's good. At times, it was at times for people from ulterior motive. You know, this person is supposed to be a father. Say father. And all of a sudden, he will call me out, we go out, and the next thing, he will put his hand, you know, I mean, in my pocket. He will be molesting me sexually. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Listen, as a small boy, I said, what are you doing? I said, you're not supposed to be doing this. He said, don't worry. Of course, you know, that, if not for Christ, say Christ. Of course, I had to deliver myself. Amen, somebody. I was not born again then. Amen, somebody. But I knew that something was wrong. Why is it that when you come to see me, you always want to put your hand in my pocket, and the next thing, you want to be touching my reproductive part? Amen. Listen, the issue of homosexuality is something that didn't just come now. It's been there. Hello, somebody? Or sexual abuse. You know, when I got born again, I had issues with that because, you know, pictures, there's a way those things create pictures. If you don't deal with it, it will affect your sexuality. Amen, somebody. Hello? I say, hello, somebody. But God has helped me to deal with that. Amen, somebody. It's not an issue. Amen, somebody. That's why I can talk about it. Amen, somebody. Without any sense of what? Fear or condemnation. Look at your neighbor and tap, say, don't let your past tie you down. You see, if you don't deal with the happenings of the past, it can color your attitude. You now become very suspicious of everybody because of something negative that you have. Now, listen, they say in my language, if you shut your eyes because of bad people, you don't know when good people will pass. Listen, I know what it means to be betrayed. Listen, betrayer is in life. People will betray you. Amen, somebody. Hello? Now, because people have betrayed you, or people have stabbed you in the back, it's not an excuse to now think that everybody is a suspect. Say suspect. I'm rebels by you. I was always, somebody was saying that, and I was just laughing. I said, you can't be saying that. He said, we don't know the Judas. I said, come on. Are you looking for Judas Iscariot? Amen. I mean, okay, let me look like a joke. How many disciples did Jesus have? Come on, talk to me. How many disciples? I mean, apostles, how many? How many of them were they Judas? Uh-huh. So one out of 12. What's the percentage? Mathematicians. Thomas, how many percentage? Probably 0 to 10%. Slightly above. I mean, slightly above. It's not even up to 10%. Uh-huh. Amen, somebody. So somebody say, relax. Because I asked it, I said, no, don't see everybody as a potential Judas. I said, how can you be this? He said, I said, come on. Don't say because he got to do jury. Amen, somebody. You're not beginning to see everybody as a Judas. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house? Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, don't let your past affect your attitude negatively. Listen, they chased Japheth. I mean, is it Japheth? Jephthah, sorry, because I know Japheth is the Jephthah. Judges 11. They chased him out of what? His father's house. Why? Because he was what? An illegitimate son. Listen, there could be illegitimate relationships, but you see, the children have nothing to do with that. Amen, somebody? Amen. Children are what? Gifts from God. His brothers did not understand. They sent him away. You are an illegitimate. You're a bastard. Out!
Listen, if Jephthah had not dealt with that, he will have sunk into depression. He will have become a nobody.
But he dealt with it. The same person that was rejected and sent away. The elders of Israel came to beg him, please, I beg, come and be our leader.
How can a rejected stone, even somebody? How can the stone that was rejected become what? The celebrated one.
He did not allow his past to hinder him.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't allow your past to hinder you.
One of the great instruments or vessels that God used in the early part of the 21st century in the charismatic movement was a woman known as Katrikuma. I mean, her ministry had a great impact on several people. The likes of Benny Hill and several other people came out from that loins. This woman, listen, I've been married twice. Had a very troublesome marital experience. There's no way you could have expected that kind of person to be a vessel of honor. But God used them mightily. Amen, somebody. If, listen, she did not submit and surrender herself to God's tutelage and help, you see, that past will have ruined her destiny. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, don't let your past hold you down. There's a story I want to say now. Some of you will laugh, but real life story. Say real life story. When I was growing up, I had a friend. Okay, to be very precise, Reverend Simon came. His background was from the Apostolic Church. My own background is from the Anglican Church. So we got born again. Of course, I left Anglican. He got born again. He left the Apostolic. Amen, somebody. But there's this student arm of Apostolic Church that is called Tax Fund. That's a student arm. And it was very, because they were open, they were charismatic, and you know, so it was still involved there. Now, there was one of the members of the fellowship shared a story with him. In fact, Reverend Simon said he knew that man, because that man was a member of the Apostolic Church. The one that in Station Road, the one in Station in Lorry, if you know the place called Station. Station is how do I describe it? Well, it's Station. It's railway station, actually. Railway station. They have the Apostolic Church there. So there was this man. This man was famous. Say famous. Famous for the known for. You see, he is the one in charge of the house materials. When I say house materials, cooking materials. Yam, rice, beans, oil. Some people are laughing. But I'm telling you a real life story. Okay, custodian. That's a better word, custodian. And in the words of these brothers, this is what their daddy normally does. The store, say store. You don't normally, the store should be in the kitchen. But the store is inside his own bedroom. Amen, somebody. Glory be to God. He has the key. Not the wife, he's the one who has the key. So when it's time to cook, say cook. He will measure things out. Say measure. You know, in Lorry, in those days, they don't use Congo. They use Congo now. They call something Peregi. Or Peregi or something. I don't know. Anyway. Is it Peregi or Peregi? Okay, Peregi. Okay. He will bring it out and measure. Say measure. It's a very funny story, but it's a true life story. You measure it, that's it for dinner, for lunch, and it will lock the key, and it will take the key away. Amen, somebody. Amen. I said, daddy, why are you doing like this? He said, growing up was not easy. It's not easy. So you children, you need to know, you need to learn this principle of management that is not easy. It's not easy. You are not muzzling the ox that, And when I say measure, I mean measure, real measure. It's not like, no place, left over, but I don't, no need to, no wastage. You can't eat more than one cocoa of rice. I mean one copra. You can't eat more than, I mean, funny story. And he was, he said, it's because things, when he was, things were not easy for him when he was raised. So he's trying to teach you children the principle of, management. He said, Daddy, why do you, where did he get this stingy attitude? Say stingy attitude. That's a stingy attitude. But you know something. Say something, somebody. Unknown to the man. You know, they say that, I'm trying to remember this proverb. They say that if the teacher says he's wise, the students will be wiser. Something like that. Unknown to the man. They didn't know when one of the children have, you know, duplicated one of the keys. Extra keys. Amen, somebody. So, he will measure. Say measure. That's his own measurement. When it's gone, they will go there and just really measure. I'm telling you a real life story. The boy was telling me, he said, God forgive them all that. But that's a, that if you become one now, you know, that is just making us be unnecessarily hungry. But the man was telling me, the reason I'm doing this is because I want to learn the principle of prudence and management. I don't think they will get it that way. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Tell your, say, don't let your past, don't let it color your attitude. Our past is part of the things that forms our attitude. How many have I given you now? Okay, number five. Let's run because we need to run. We need to run today. Another thing that shapes and forms your attitude is your present experiences. Your present experiences. Where you are now. What is happening to you now? The opportunities or the exposure you have now. These things also shapes and colors your training. I mean, training opportunities. What you are going through now. Your encounters. These are some of the things that can shape. Say shape somebody. You know, when I think I've shared it to George, when I was attacked on May 5th, when I was going for my walk early in the morning, and some hoodlums attacked me, and then I got injured, and I came back home, you know, and I know some people came to see me and said, he said, Pastor, you have to be very careful now, you know, that kind of thing. Don't go out and be jogging early in the morning. Some people, of course, I know it's because of the love and the care, and I appreciated it. But, you know, be that as that may be, do you know that the enemy also started, you know, putting some suggestions. This work that you're doing is not safe here. You better think about this, your work. Amen. Now, that present experience that I had almost wanted to be opening the door to fear. Amen, somebody. There was a day I was walking. This was even early in the morning. And I think somebody almost had an accident, a bike guy. And my reflex action. I mean, it was almost like somebody wanted to just, you know, I mean, charge. And the thing that came to mind was, I said, I know where that is coming from. So I had to start dealing with that thought. Amen, somebody. Because, you know, these things, our experiences, if you don't manage it, it can make or mar your attitude. I had to deal with that. I took that up spiritually. Amen, somebody. Because, I mean, does it not mean I can't walk freely? Amen, somebody. And I know people, because I counsel a lot of people who come to say, I've been battling with these thoughts. Because, you see, if you don't deal with it very well, you just be very fear-prone. Amen, somebody. And panic, all those kind of stuff will begin to set into motion. So our experiences also affect our attitude. I remember a very funny experience that happened. I can't remember whether it was 2017. I and my wife went to see Bishop Adejumo and Reverend Mama Adejumo, and I'm not sure whether it was the small parlor or the main, I can't remember, but I think Bishop, I think it was at the back or so. Maybe it was at the back. I think it was at the back. And I had just gone. Amen. And left. I just left my wife behind. Amen. I was just going. So he just said, ah, he said, man of God, come. Ah. He said, you're not supposed to leave her behind. Ah. You're supposed to stay beside her or probably even let her go. I said, that's true. I said, I'm very sorry, sir. Then my wife just tripped and started laughing. Now, the reason she was laughing was because I had that orientation. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. And some of these things, we don't pick it up by default. You don't say default, somebody. Default or training, amen, somebody. I know my wife used to say you're walking too fast. I mean, I said, that's how I walk. Now, you know, some of those things, you may say it in a way to justify your recklessness. Amen, somebody. But you know that the truth is that you need to slow down. Amen, somebody. And, you know, that day when Bishop corrected me, she was not laughing. And I knew the reason she was laughing. It was evident. I said, you have been seeing this thing. But I was not teaching. I said, it's not me. It's where I'm coming from. To Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. Our experiences, the things we go through, this thing shapes the way we behave. Shapes the way we behave. Amen, somebody. Amen. I said, amen, somebody. Amen. And you see, that's why the experiences that people have, the opportunities that people are exposed to, these are some of the things that shapes and forms our attitude. So we need to pay attention to our present realities or experiences. If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. Amen. It's important that we take full advantage of our experiences so that experiences will help us to develop the right kind of attitude. Number what now? Six. I hope I can get to seven before we pray today. Number six. Another thing that colors or shapes or forms our attitude is your self-image. What's your self-image? Your self-image is how you see yourself. How you perceive yourself. The kind of impression you have about yourself. Your internalized mental picture of yourself. How do you see yourself? Amen? Do you see yourself as a victor or a victim? Do you see yourself as a failure or as a success? Do you see yourself as a winner or a loser? Do you see yourself as blessed or cursed? Do you see yourself as useless, worthless, of no value? You know, one of the things that I believe God dealt with David, that God worked on him, was the way he saw himself. There was a place in First Samuel 18:23, when they were muting the idea of him marrying one of the daughters of the king. You know what he called himself? He said, I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. In other words, who dash monkey banana? He was seeing himself, me, a poor man. Nobody knows me in this land. He had written himself off. In fact, there's another place in 1 Samuel 24, verse 14, when Saul was pursuing him. He said, my king, why are you pursuing a dead dog and a flea? A flea is an insect. Amen, somebody. How can you call yourself an insect? Amen, somebody. It's because of the way you saw, he saw himself, a dead dog. Say dead dog. Not even a living dog. You know, a living dog is at least has some hard. Amen, somebody. Do you know what I'm talking about? If you remember the dog that is outside here, amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. The pit bull that is there, amen, somebody. I mean, a living pit bull is more dangerous than what? A dead pit bull. Yes or no? He didn't even say it was a living dog. He said a dead. That's the way he saw himself. Hello? I want to show you something. I don't want to quote. Let's go to Judges 6. I'm going to show you this very quickly. Judges chapter 6. If you are getting anything, I'll say amen, somebody. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Glory be to God in the highest. I don't want to quote it. This is how Gideon saw himself. Judges 6 verse 15. Are you there?
And he said, that is Gideon to the angel. He said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is what? In what? Manasseh or Manasseh, anyone, amen somebody. You know when you hear the Americans, they pronounce it differently. When you hear the English people, they pronounce it differently. Amen. Just let the spelling be correct. Amen. My family is what? Poor in what? Manasseh. I am the least in what? Look at the way he saw himself. My family is poor in Manasseh. And even in that family, I am what? The smallest. That's the picture he had. Now, you cannot have a positive attitude with that kind of image or mindset. You cannot. I was asking myself, why did he say, you know, he thought God had made him, he said, Manasseh. Manasseh is what you have, Manasseh, not Ephraim. Manasseh is the first son of Joseph. Ephraim is the second son. You know by prophecy that Ephraim was much more mightier and stronger, powerful than what? So I said, I'm from a disadvantaged tribe. And our own family is even the smallest in the disadvantaged tribe. And I'm the smallest, even in my father's house. I mean, he had put himself low, 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 low. Say low, 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 somebody. No hope. He didn't even give himself any glimpse of hope. We need to watch. You need to listen. If the picture of how you see yourself is not healthy, when I say healthy, I mean in line with God's word, God's perspective, your attitude will be wrong. That's why some people feel that, I don't belong. Says who? Hello, somebody. Tell people, this is my father's house. I am a citizen of the world. Hello? The Bible says, fellow citizens with the saints of God. I don't just have a natural citizenship. I have what? A heavenly citizenship. And you must see yourself as a citizen of the world. You stand before blacks, you stand before whites, you stand before any color, no sense of discrimination or inferiority. Hello? Are you here tonight? You have to change the way you see yourself. Do you know that? Okay, I will show you somebody else again. I don't want to quote it. Go to 1 Samuel 9. When Samuel told Saul he was going to be king, 1 Samuel 9:21, Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite? God knows. Who's a Benjamite? Talk to me. Who's a Benjamite? Tribe of what? Benjamin. I'm going to tell you the reason why he was very particular. Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of what? And my family the least of the what? It's the same way. Low, 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 low. I'll say low, 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 low. You know why he said, am I not a Benjamite? Do you know why he said that? I will tell you why he said that. Listen. The Benjamites, they committed an abomination. If you read Judges 19, there's a story of a priest and his concubine who went somewhere. And they stayed in one of the cities of Benjamin. And men of Belial, say men of Belial. Well, that may look very strange. Just say lustful men. Amen. They came and they said, please bring out the men. It was the men they wanted to, so that we can know them sexually. They said, please. The man was even begging them. He said, I will give you my daughter. Yes, I don't want. It is the men we want to. We want to know them. Amen, somebody. That's homosexuality. Amen, somebody. So after pleading and pleading, they said, okay, we will release the concubine. So the priest released his concubine and they gang raped her. I hope you know the meaning of gang raped. Amen, somebody. Till she died.
So in the morning, they opened the door and they saw the dead concubine. The priest carried it, got home, and he did the ridiculous. I don't know how he did it. He took a knife, say knife, and butchered the body. 12 parts and sent one part each to all the tribes. Of course, that provoked, an anger. People gathered. What's this? They now relate the story. They said, yeah. Men of Benjamin, release these people. Say, for where? Release the culprits for where? So they declare war on Benjamin. And they almost wiped them out. There were very few that remained. You can read the story, Judges 19, and that's the Genesis. That's why I said, Am I not? Have you forgotten where we come from? The Benjamites, the thing they were notorious for. God says he knows you're a Benjamite. You know, at times people think that God has forgotten about their age. I don't know, people tell me their age. I said, God knows your age before. I said, Pastor, this is my age. Oh. I said, God knows. God is aware. And I'm still single. Yes, God is aware. Very much aware. Amen, somebody. And he's doing something about it. Amen, somebody. Are you here today? There's nothing anybody is going through that God does not know. It's just the appointed hour of manifestation. Your day will come. I say your day will come. Everybody has their day. The day of manifestation, the day of actualization, and your day will come. I said your day will come. And it shall be a beautiful thing. Beautiful. Listen, it's important that you need to change the way you see yourself. You know, if I have the time, I'll have shown you. Please go and read the following scriptures. Joshua 6, verse 2. Joshua 8, verse 1. And I'm going to, in those places, God told Joshua, see, that's what, see, I have delivered the king and the people. But he first said, see it. When he came to Jericho, he said, see. Listen, God does not use words because, he doesn't know what to say. No, there's a reason. In fact, God told Moses, Exodus 7 verse 1, he said, see, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother is your prophet. Listen, if Moses did not see himself as a god to Pharaoh, listen to this. There's no how that prophecy can be fulfilled. God told Jeremiah 1 verse 10. See, I have these days set you over the nations and the kingdoms to root out and pull out, to destroy, to uproot, to build and to plant. Listen, if Jeremiah did not see himself as that, there's nothing God can do about it. What you see is what you are going to get. Hello? I want to ask you a question. What are you seeing? Ask him and say, what are you seeing? God asked Jeremiah 1:11, Jeremiah 1:13, Jeremiah 24, verse 3, he says, what seest thou? You know what do you see? I want to ask you a question. What do you see? What are you seeing? Some say, I'm seeing people. What kind of people? What do you see? What's the picture on the inside? What do you see? Are you seeing increase in the place of scarcity? Are you seeing victory in the place of defeat? Are you seeing joy in the place of persecution? What are you seeing? It's important that we see right. Amen. I want to ask you a question. What are you seeing? Listen, you can't perform in a way that is inconsistent with the way you see yourself. You can never perform in the what? You can never perform in a way that is inconsistent with the way you see yourself. You will always perform according to what? How you see yourself.
Ask your neighbor, say, what do you seek? You can't perform in a way that is inconsistent with the way you see yourself. If you see yourself, for instance, as a victim, you can't be a victor. See yourself as a doormat, somebody that should be trampled upon. You can never be victorious. Until the picture changes on the inside. What can change the picture is the word of God. It's the word of God. You see, that's why I tell people the word of God is a powerful tool. Can change you from inside out. Change your outlook. Change your perspective. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can even come from an idolatrous background. Amen, somebody. Can come from an heritage of deities. In Christ, you're a new person. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, it's time to pay attention to your self-image. I can't go beyond that. I think I've given us like six. Probably let's just stop here today. Amen, somebody. Please, let's start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Let's start seeing ourselves the way God sees you. It will change your attitude. To change your attitude. It's a walk of faith. Amen, somebody. We need to walk the walk. Amen. Walk the walk and talk the talk before there can be a manifestation. God has given us the tools. He has given us the materials to cultivate and develop and construct our attitude. I pray for you today that the words of the Almighty that you have had today will help in shaping and forming new attitudes in the name of Jesus. Every negative and contrary attitude, negative attitude pattern that has been established through the power of God's word today, it is broken in the name of Jesus. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing lifts everybody. Through the ministry of the word of God today, you are set free from every contrary and negative attitude in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your two and say, Heavenly Father, I receive your word tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you for renewing my thoughts. Thank you for renewing my mind. I receive encouragement tonight from the ministry of your word, and I declare that I release my faith in the spoken word. I release my faith in the spoken word. I release my faith in the spoken word, and I receive my healing. I receive my restoration, my renewal, my quickening, quickening of my mind, quickening of my thoughts. The miracle of a renewed mind begins today. Thank you, Father, for helping me to cultivate new attitudes, better attitudes, positive attitudes, according to your word. Lift up your hands and begin to bless him tonight. Begin to bless him tonight.